The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Yeah, well, so much for the Tea Party being dead, huh? 841-1360-97.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. Early on in this primary season nationally, when the mainstream media was saying that victories by Mitch McConnell and other establishment Republicans, again, in primaries, was evidence that the Republican establishment has beat back the Tea Party insurgency. Yeah? Tell that to Eric Cantor. We're going to talk about that later in the show. There is something that I've said, though. I'll just give you a hint of where we're going with that. For years on the show, very, very few things in life happen for one reason. Yet for whatever reason, we try to assign, or reasons, we try to assign singular reasons, or a single reason, I should say, to things that happen. When there was some success by establishment Republican candidates, Tea Party's dead, Tea Party's dead. I said, no, it isn't. There is some pragmatism in some races. Voters felt Mitch McConnell had a better chance of winning in November. Voters who had issues with Eric Cantor felt that Mr. Bratt can win in November. Now, it was a low turnout. That's a reason. Everybody is pointing to Cantor, really himself, trying to push through immigration reform. Is that what felled him? Or are people misreading this the same way they misread some of the establishment victories? There was a big establishment victory yesterday. People just, we're going to get into that. What did and did not happen? But clearly, Tea Party candidates can still beat establishment candidates. This is history-making. Someone who holds Cantor's position, the number two spot in the House, has never lost a primary before. And everybody's going to try to find this simple explanation here when I don't think there is one. By the way, there are a couple of things that we haven't gotten to. By the way, when I don't get to a topic, don't assume I don't know about it, or don't assume that I don't want to talk about it, or that I'm not going to talk about it. Listeners, well, how come you haven't talked about this? Why are you avoiding talking about that? Because I have 2.5 hours a day, and there's just so much I can get to. No, we haven't gotten to the human crisis surge of children at the southern border due entirely to the sloppy policy of President Obama. Other talk shows clearly have spent a lot of time on this. I'm going to try to get to that tomorrow. There's another one that's been out there for a couple of days, which directly impacts Wisconsin, which we will get to today. And it is the FDA's incredible concern about bacteria in the production of cheese. It would be laughable if it wasn't so frightening. And there was a major court ruling in California yesterday, which has gotten news coverage. I'm not saying it hasn't. But what it really means, we'll get to that. And Mary Burke, Democrats were unable to keep that fly out of her ointment. And what did happen with Frank Lissay at the GAB? We'll get to a lot of stuff. We will try to get to all of it. I want to do something quickly here. Where did I put that now? Really? Boy, there it is. I had it right here for crying out loud. Somehow it managed to get third in the stack. Just want to remind you of a couple of things. Next week is the radiothon for families of children with cancer. And, of course, that means during this show, during Mike and Matt, on Monday and on Friday. And we'll have a Donate Now button prominently featured after I expressed my concerns for the web department yesterday. It will be prominently featured, I promise you, that it will be prominently featured, so you can easily donate next week. But we'll be doing the Radiothon where you can call in on Monday and on Friday. This is in conjunction with Families of Children with Cancer's Gold Ribbon Run. And I know there are those of you interested in running in this, and they asked me to make sure that you know that it's actually moved up a month, more or less. Used to be late July. It is a week from Saturday, which is why we're doing the Radiothon next week. It's a 2-mile run walk or a 5-mile run. If you want all the information on that, the website is focwc.org. focwc.org. One more time. focwc. Families of Children with Cancer. focwc.org. You can get the information on the run there. And we'll do everything that we've done in the past with the Radiothon. Been affiliated with that now for years. One other thing I want to mention, and I'm not going to mention this every day, but I'm going to keep a running total on this. Let me see. What would this be? I think it was Friday, but I just don't know. I think it was Friday that I first mentioned the mysterious circumstances under which the incoming UW Green Bay Chancellor Gary Miller left his job in North Carolina. Jason, I think we did that Friday. Whether we did or we didn't, in fact, you know what? We're going to just go with Monday, because Monday is the first day that I called the media in this market out to report on the mysterious circumstances under which he left his previous job. And that it very possibly took a pay cut to come here, because he would have taken damn near any job to get out of there. And it looks as though he may have been on the verge of being fired. But all of the gauzy, warm, fuzzy stuff that UW Green Bay has been throwing out about this guy, the media has lapped up with a big old wooden spoon. So this is my third day in a row calling out to the Northeast Wisconsin media. You want to look into this guy? I have all the links for you, including what the newspaper over there said, what hasn't been. I'm just saying, it's there. This is day three. I'm not going to do this every day, but every once in a while, check in and see how long that this story has been out there for their easy consumption without them picking it up. And I can tell you right now, there are regular listeners in TV newsrooms around the city that listen to this segment. I can tell you that factually. This is now day three. You want to look into incoming Chancellor Gary Miller and the circumstances under which he left his old job? You just might want to do that. Tuition-paying students at UW Green Bay just might want to know. Rather than accept the warm, fuzzy version of what a wonderful pick this guy was, I'm not saying he isn't, but I'm saying the circumstances under which he left are, I wouldn't say suspicious, I would say mysterious. And it's interesting that nobody but me has pointed that mystery out to anyone in the Green Bay media market. That's all. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you can go back and listen to the podcast from Monday for sure, and I think it was Friday. But nobody really knows why he wanted to get out of there so badly. There are theories. So just throwing that out there. There is a letter that is appearing in some of the smaller Brown County newspapers today, some of the really local papers. This is on a topic that we have not talked about in a long time. The letter comes from Dr. J.J. Tibbetts. That would be J-A-Y, J. dot Tibbetts. Dr. J. Tibbetts. Who is he? He's a member of the Brown County Board of Health. He has been studying, well, they have been studying, the health effects of industrial wind turbines. This letter deals with the issue of these turbines in southern Brown County. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read a little bit of this, because this is an issue that really, for the public, has gone away, but is still a big deal for the people suffering. Again, this is a medical doctor. Ear pain, pressure, ringing, vertigo, blurred vision, headache, nausea, chest pain pressure, abdominal pain, poor concentration, forgetfulness, irritability, depression may well present as a diagnostic dilemma to your doctor. One revealing clue may solve this puzzle. Where do you live? In Brown County, the answer may be in the vicinity of the Shirley Wind Farm, located in the town of Glenmore. It consists of 8,500 2.5-megawatt industrial wind turbines, IWTs. Since its construction in fall 2010, a number of residents have become ill with many of the aforementioned symptoms. Three families have been forced to abandon their homes because of the severity of their symptoms, and several others have been would move for the fact they just can't afford to. About 40 families have abandoned their homes in a wind farm in Ontario, Canada, because of symptoms associated with IWTs. Patients worldwide have been afflicted. Studies show that infrasound, low-frequency noise, generated by IWTs travels for miles. The sound is often unheard. Professor at Washington University in St. Louis has described the transmission of ILFN, that's that low-frequency noise, via the outer hair cells in the inner ear, and states you cannot hear the infrasound at the levels generated by wind turbines, but your ears certainly detect it. In the case of the Shirley Wind Farm, this has been in excess of 4 miles. Dr. Tibbetts reports here that a teenager near the Shirley Wind Farm can know whether the turbines are off or on without any visual contact. And this has been picked up in people worldwide, that they can actually sense by the symptoms, yeah, it's on. And these people are being called nuts and kooks. Is Dr. Tibbetts a nut or a kook? As noted above, making a diagnosis may be quite difficult. It's very important that your doctor rule out other causes. Unfortunately, many physicians, including ENT specialists, may not be well informed about these problems and their effects on human health. And he goes on to say, look, understand who this guy is and what he's talking about. He's talking about medical evidence. Safe minimum setbacks are essential, he writes, and may be either empirical, currently suggested by an Australian group, as far as 10 kilometers, that's 6.2 miles, although state mandate by the WPSC is, I believe it's 1,250 feet, which is completely inadequate to prevent adverse health effects from audible sound. Again, Dr. Tibbetts is a member of the Brown County Board of Health, which has been studying this for years. The board has sent two resolutions to the state of Wisconsin, one requesting further health studies and another requesting relief for families who have had to abandon their homes because of health issues related to IWTs. To date, the state has not responded with any actions. Were this anything else but a clean energy source, and I put in quotes, clean energy source, this would be one of the great scandals. And we would be told, rely on the science, rely on the science, rely on the science. Science is being ignored here. And here's what I mean by that on a couple of fronts. One, there is already some existing science on this, but the state and others don't want to involve science. They don't want epidemiological studies done. They don't want the type of medical research that could show definitively what these turbines are doing to people who live too close to them. Industrial turbines. Instead, they do the intellectually vacant mantra, well, you're just anti-wind. You're just anti-wind. That's really all this is. You must be paid by big oil. They play these stupid cards because they don't have an argument to this. It's a highly government-subsidized sector of the energy industry that could never stand on its own. And the last thing they want is medical evidence to suggest that living too close to these things is dangerous. Again, this is going to appear in some of the local papers around Brown County. It is from Dr. Jay Tibbetts, who's a member of the Brown County Board of Health. Not a nut. All right, we're going to start, speaking of things that really are nutty and involve the government, we're going to start with the one at 906. It's 856.